I think I've got everybody here. I don't think I need to say anything about, what do you call those things, conflicts of interest. I think they've been addressed by the two councillors concerned on this issue. So, people, I reopen this meeting. And the matter for decision is the water permits plan change, and I welcome to the end of the table Peter, Gwyneth,
and Anita.
She didn't do badly, did I? Just me and I don't understand. So this is how I want to handle this. We've got a lot of material in front of us. Material that we're pretty much knowledgeable of. I'd want to open up first of all for questions. Kind of like we've just done in the questions in the Treasury, try and group your questions rather than have thousands of different ones flying around. And remember, they're questions for elucidation, not for argument. Genuine questions. Then we'll get somebody to move. And I just have a look. The motion is, I've just lost it. The motion is 1, 2, 3, 4. And then we'll take argument. Are people happy with that procedure?
Yeah, love it.
Okay, so welcome to the table, the three of you. Just open up for any questions that people have.
Ask one question.
Yes. Well, maybe. Just depends what it is.
Section 32 reports.
Okay.
Don't take this the wrong way. But
duck.
Section 32 reports are meant to be a sort of an evaluation of social, economic, environmental, of the effect of something. And I know that it carries on, but who did our report? Who was it done by?
So the lead author was a consultant planner.
Right. So it wasn't one of our own staff members?
Not the lead author, no.
Right. So we had it's an independent viewpoint.
Somewhat, yes.
Next question is on the economic effects of the plan. Who did they talk to about that? How did they gain their information?
Just before you answer that, can I just clarify something? I thought a section 2 was 32. Not doing that, but was
section
doing
32,
but was doing an evaluation of the proposal, the plan change you were putting up.
Yes, that's right.
So it's an evaluation of the efficiency and effectiveness of the provisions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And generally, the word evaluation means a comparison, so against the status quo and options.
And it therefore includes economic.
Does it?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Costs and
from the three of you down there, does it?
There is an economic component to it. No, right. There's a cost-benefit component to it.
Right.
Not economics.
Okay.
It's cost-benefit. And it doesn't have to be monetized.
Oh, okay.
There's no requirement for that to happen. And in some cases, and this is possibly one of them, it's not possible to do that. It's possible to do half of it, but not the second half.
Sorry, I missed, because he said something. Because Michael says, what was that last bit? It can't be monetized because...
What I was saying is it's not possible always to monetize it.
Yep.
In this case, we've managed to establish an order of costs for part of the evaluation, but for the other part of it, we can't. It's right. Just not possible to do so.
Okay.
Madam Chair, with respect...
Whoa, darling, because that hand went up and then you spoke. So, Hillary followed by you, Brian. Sorry.
Oh, no, I don't want to... I'm just saying the economics on page 50. There it is in black and white.
Okay. Hillary, thank you.
Sorry, when you're saying that you can't provide anything more in the way of costs and benefits under economic than what you've provided there? Or am I mishearing you?
In essence, what I'm saying is we can establish what the costs of this proposal might be to an applicant, and I know that our consents colleagues have done some work around that. But looking to the land and water plan in a future regime that they may need a second consent under, until I know what that regime looks like, we can't ask anybody to start putting any estimate of costs around that.
So through the chair, what is that information that they've done work around?
We just talk to Richard.
So the consents team have had a look at, under the proposal, what the average cost or time spent by staff processing, and bearing in mind this is only the internal costs. We can't calculate what the external costs might be because there are all sorts of variabilities that exist in terms of the cost the applicant might be faced with in terms of their own preparation. Based on what's proposed, if a good quality application was received with the information that we would require to make the assessment, it's calculated around 15 hours processing time?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes, that's correct, but that's based solely on it being for a consent under the fully operative version of this water permits plan change, so that's when it's been through its formal process. So in the interim, both plans will apply, but the ideal outcome, and based on some analysis from my team, is that, yes, it would be significantly reduced cost and time to process one of these in the order of about 15 hours. So,
which is money-wise?
It depends on the charge-out rate of the staff, but so different staff have different charge-out rates, but it's about two and a half, was what we landed on.
And you've got no way of knowing what it would usually cost to an applicant. Sorry.
Yeah, yes.
This is the same question, sort of.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes. So we've presented the costs previously in previous reports for applications processed under the existing plan.
Yeah, you have.
Yep.
That was in previous reports, but it is significantly higher than that in the orders, depending on how far that application had gone through appeal, etc.
Okay. Kevin, then. We'll just have a look, Kelly. You've done two. Yep. Kevin, then.
Just one question, Andrew, to the team at the end of the table, which is a wee bit, quite a dramatic shift from what's in front of us. But what I'd like to know, and being based on what our people, as in the constituents of Otago, have said, is it possible to turn the replacement of deemed permits and the replacement of water permits that expire prior to this 31st of December 2025 into short-term six-year controlled activity consents with the only condition variation to their current position being the new expiry date and a condition that requests the consent holder to work towards the new NPSFM?
The short answer is no. And the reason for that is the second part is too uncertain. Working towards the NPSFM is too uncertain for a condition. We have to specify. Yeah.
It could. Sorry.
Andrew, your turn.
Oh, just thinking about that particular, what Councillor Malcolm said. If it said the 2017 NPSFM, which is cast in stone.
No. We know that we're going to be
which is about a week away.
A very short amount of time.
So can I just clarify through the chair, if you have something that says walking towards the NPSFM, what you might be imposing on someone is all the attribute targets. So you might be requiring water quality standards for them to be imposed. You might be requiring them to phase out over allocation. You might be requiring them to deal with efficiency. You might be making it a whole lot larger, but there's no certainty around exactly what it is you are requiring of them to do. So that's why we're saying no.
Have you heard that?
Yes, thank you. So if I ask that question again, but change it to include the current conditions that they have, but with an expiry date of 6 years.
Then I put on a slightly different hat and say, as an advisor to the council, given that we know we've got an NPS FM 2014 updated in 2017, that we have to be at least trying to work towards? The answer is still no, because the present conditions may be zero. There may be no conditions on some of those permits, and all you're saying is we would roll them over exactly as they are, and we should be putting conditions on, or the conditions that are there might be inadequate, and therefore we'd have to add new conditions. So we've done, quite frankly, the minimum we think we can get away with.
I can see you, Kevin. Can I have Anita's response?
I was just going to say, so when we talk about the NPS, what the plan change has to do is not be inconsistent with it, but it doesn't have to give full effect. Mm. So what we've done is, as Peter said, develop the bare minimum that is consistent with the NPS. If we didn't have at least some conditions on, we would be contrary to, and we aren't able to develop a plan change that is contrary to.
Kevin?
And I think...
Oh, I'm sorry. Kevin, did you have a further question?
What I have, simply in that the big picture is our big picture is our long-term water plan.
Yes.
Our big picture is our long-term water plan. So how do we get to that? And in the timeframes that we've allocated, we've got to have that in place by 2023?
Notify.
We have to
notify
it. 2023.
So this very point, ground annual water plan in 2023.
Yeah,
the same point we are for this plan change now.
Yeah, good as gold. So what our people have said, what our people have said when we've gone out to the under public consultation in this whole phase is contrary to what we've actually got in this paper. So all I'm saying, look, things are, for instance, fish screens. So we've got in there stuff that it's automatically going to... The people are going to fight it non-stop. We're going to have 3 years or 4 years or 5 years until our water plan comes in. It is going to be fought. We may get a ministerial call-up, but it will be fought. And to me, it doesn't... To me, the big picture is we need everyone on side to be talking through the formation of our water plan. And we simply won't have the parties on board if we're all of a sudden going to put conditions on the water users that they are going to automatically void.
Okay, Kevin. Kevin, is that a question, though?
Yeah.
Or is that an argument? I mean, I really want, at the moment, to be straight out questions, not an argument. You can save your arguments for later. Plenty of time. It was Hilary, you asking a question, and then you, young man. Okay?
My question is, we have got in the middle of the Section 32 report something talking about permits, total number of permits and permits that will be applied for and whatever. There doesn't seem to be, and it might be just my reading of it, somewhere where it says the effect of the fact that more than half the permits have already been renewed or turned from something into a consent or... So the outcomes that we hope to achieve are only partially achieved. Is that...
Well,
or,
I think...
Or does it acknowledge that sort of somewhere?
I think that we need to remind ourselves that one of the outcomes that we're trying to achieve here is that the deemed permits expire in April 2021. So we need a mechanism for that. It's not so much about how many have been processed or haven't been processed. For those that haven't been processed, we need a mechanism for those people.
Yes. Yep. But the effect of the choice we make today, whenever we make it, the outcome is different if we're it's applying to all of them or most of them, or if it's applying to less than half of them, which it is.
The answer to that is that anybody got an existing permit and it doesn't expire within the period that this plan change applies to is part of the given environment now.
Yeah.
Park them. We don't count them. This is only people who need to come in and get a consent either to replace a deemed permit or to replace a permit that is going to expire before 2025. So there's 740 of those.
Sarah.
740 of those.
If you could help us to understand what your concern is, what is the outcome that you're
looking for? My concern is that we're doing something for part of a group and the other part of the group is already past that. It is, as you say, part of the now environment, which means that every one of these that this plan would be subjected to in the future sits alongside a neighbour who's already renewed theirs and has quite different things, so that we create, every time we do something quite different from what a current permit holder has, we create an unhappiness between neighbours.
That is true, but the same could be said for a neighbour getting a greater amount of water because they applied at an earlier stage before all the water was allocated. So we can't manage, anyone can apply for a consent. We can't manage when that happens. What we are saying, however, is we know with the deemed permits that need replacing that we have to manage the situation so that what Professor Skelton has said with us not having a fit for purpose framework doesn't get any worse, and that's what we're trying to achieve at the moment, and also provide the mechanism for those consents to have an element of certainty that while the term is shorter, the certainty in the process through which you go through is far greater than the current process.
Andrew.
My question is on a similar topic, but it's about priority water takes or deemed permits. And in the document, we talk about council agreed principles dating back to, you know, when we started this process to get some broad framework to develop rules and policies. And then I'm on page 72, that's the council agenda, and it's where you've got, it's attachment A, and it just talks about the agreed principles and then whether it's consistent or inconsistent to those agreed principles. And with regards to priority deemed permits, it says the deemed permit system is unable to be retained through the proposed plan provisions. Looking into the future, it talks about the possibility of water user groups dealing with it post land and water plan 23-25 sort of thing. So essentially what happens now with this plan change, anyone with a priority deemed permit, essentially those rights disappear, because clearly there are priority deemed permits throughout Otago, not right throughout Otago. So just, are we able to, maybe it's a question for Anita, I don't know, or Peter, are we able just to talk through, if you could put yourself in the position of someone out there with that arrangement, how do they, A, deal with the situation, because it's going to be quite different for them once we notify this plan, and the likelihood of it being managed with some water users group beyond 23-25. Do you understand my question?
Yes, I do. I'm just, some of it might be a consents response. I'm just prepping them to let them think about it. But the priority system, I mean, I guess one of the big differences between deemed permits and water permits is that the resource management is a first in, first served based principle. So the first one in has the first right to whatever the resources, land, water, air, coast. And that's not the way that the deemed permit system works. So there's a fundamental, ideological shift. in terms of what we've seen through other councils is that there is a priority system that works when people come in as a group. So once we know that the limits that we need to set in the land and water regional plan, then there's no reason why that people can't work together to do that, and you see that happening. The other part of the question, I think Peter has turned his mind to.
What, the priority part? The difficulty is that the whole priority thing just disappears.
Just
frankly.
What, darling? Just
disappears. Sorry, just disappears.
Right.
And what we're trying to do is enable the present water users or abstractors to carry on while we get in place a regime that takes us 30, 40, 50 years into the future. It's very much a stopgap. And we've had to go after only those things that we know we can manage in the short term and effectively and quickly. One of the things that we have heard a lot about and turned our minds to a little bit is what might happen in the way of catchment groups getting together and owning a water permit for the catchment. And I know there are some provisions in the present water plan that allow that to happen. There are improved versions of that now available. I'm responsible for writing one of them in the ECAN plan. There are others. And we are definitely looking at that for the land and water plan, but we can't distract ourselves in this plan change by trying to put a regime in like that. And the regime that I'm thinking about, and it won't hurt to mention it now, is you get a collection of landowners or farmers together who want to use water. They can either apply individually for water and then collectively apply for consent to operate as a cooperative. The reason you get them consented is as people come and go from that cooperative, the council needs to know who's in and who's out and how much water they are adding in or taking out of that cooperative. And then what are the operating rules within that cooperative so that the overall effect on the water body remains the same, albeit that someone might be taking more than their permit allows them to take, because they're also borrowing some water from somebody else who's not taking it that day. So the net effect on the water body remains the same, but people are able to use more water should they need it and someone else be able to give it up for that day or that month or that week or whatever. Now, that's such a complicated regime to put into a plan change that in essence is a quick fix to get us over a 6 or 7 year period.
Kevin,
I totally understand the issue.
Not Kevin.
Andrew,
and then Gretchen.
Yeah, look, I appreciate the explanation. Put yourself in the position of a water user, irrigator, or the water permit, with a priority over the take, upstream, downstream, or whatever. The regime that you've just described is quite different when essentially you say that priority takes no longer exist. So it certainly throws the cat amongst the pigeons. So I'm just trying to understand how those people who have had the luxury of having X amount of water available over their neighbour, how that's going to settle in the community.
To be honest,
about not giving their wife away, versus their water permit. So, I mean, this runs pretty deep in people's veins in this sector. So,
what we're not taking off them, though, is the volume that they've got access to or the rate at which they've got access to it. Okay.
If the water's there, they can take
but
it.
If the water's there, they can take it. The problem is, if you're at the bottom of the catchment, it may not be there. And that's why when we move into the new regime, we start looking at minimum flows and more sharing of that water, if you like, so that the available water in a catchment is spread more evenly across those who want access to it. The priority system meant that, you know, number one in got all the water potentially. Number two in got it when it was in flood conditions. Number three might never have even seen water. Had a water permit, but never actually had access to it. We're trying to transit from that regime to one where more people will get access to possibly less water, but more of them will get access to that volume. There's nothing I can see that we could do in this plan change to overcome the loss of the priority as it is in the deemed permit situation.
Can I just ask one final question?
Yeah, and then it's Gretchen and then it's Kevin.
As planners, you believe you've given that topic a thorough thorough consideration and considered the impacts on the ground when you've dealt with
priority water takes? We've done as much as we can with it, given the constraints that we've got to work within.
We've also had a discussion with legal counsel about this, and they don't believe you can introduce the priority system under the RMA. So we're confident that we've explored it as far as we can.
Okay. Gretchen, followed by Kevin. Questions? Is this a question? Yep.
Exactly. there were lots of questions raised by some of those recent statements around priorities and the council working towards sharing water around more people, which I don't think is equitable. But, yeah, there'd be lots of questions around that. I don't think that is where we would be going. But anyway, a question that springs to mind, first of all, I've got two. One is around, you can only get as much water as you've currently got, essentially. I understand that. But what if you're a sub-catchment that came forward with all of your permits and you asked for exactly the same amount of water as you had as a grouping instead of as a whole lot of individual renewals? Could you? I didn't quite understand before. Could you do that?
Under this plan change, yes, you could.
Yeah. Okay, so then that brings up the whole prospect then of them. I don't quite understand. And so they've got a group consent then. They could share amongst themselves and they wouldn't individually be locked into necessarily what they've had over the past 5 years. If they made an arrangement as a grouping of a company, whatever. Sorry, Marion, I should be addressing you.
Yeah, through your chair. I mean, there are some consent holders that run that way. They have a consent from a regional council and then they have a commercial operation that sits over the top and they manage water differently. The compliance sits with the entire group. You know, if they take too much water, the entire group has liability if they do something that isn't, you know, in accordance with their conditions. But that is a way that...
able to be yes. done. Yes. Great. Okay, next one is about risk and... something that I wonder about, and we're going to push it as far as we can, I think, to try and argue the case with this plan change that it's a transition. But there is a risk of whoever's assessing it thinking we're not adequately addressing significant adverse effects on the environment because we're
rolling over
ourselves into a deemed permit regime, essentially. Yeah. If there's existing residual flows or minimum flows, yes, we adhere to them. But if there aren't, then we don't. So I'm just wondering about the risk, potentially, of whoever's hearing this thinking that doesn't quite stack up.
I think the answer to that lies in the fact that we've now got an objective sitting in this plan change. Now, in the early thinking about it and the earliest drafts that we did put together, there was no objective. We've now got one. And the plan change follows from that objective. And that objective clearly says this is a transitionary set of provisions. It's designed to achieve that outcome. Now, when the panel, whoever it is, looks at what we're trying to achieve, that's where they'll start.
That's on page 22 of 82. It's the underlined bits. It says 10A1.1, transition toward the objective, transition toward the long term. It's a transition. Long-term sustainable management of surface water resources in the Otago region by establishing an interim planning framework to manage new water permits and the replacement of deem permits and water permits to take and use surface water, bom, 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 okay, until the new land and water regional plan is made operative.
Mm.
So it says it very clearly, which could mitigate against what you're, the risk you're talking about.
It's what it's designed to do.
Right. Okay. It was Kevin. Question, Kevin, by the way.
So if it's designed to do that, why are all of a sudden we're being so restrictive on the users of the scheme? We're in 10A.2.1, we're saying that they can irrigate no extra land. So, and we know that our people, through consultation, have said, well, providing people are using water efficiently and showing no additional adverse effects to the environment, we should have that within there. Yet we're stopping people actually irrigating any more land than they have been in the last period. So I'm just saying it's a transitional period. So I can't understand that. I just can't understand.
Two parts to the answer to that question. First part is, there's a relationship between water used and water quality. The area irrigated potentially will impact on the water quality that we've already got. We're trying to establish a new regime that meets the NPSFM. In the interim, we don't want to make the situation any worse and have to claw back further. That's the first part.
Yeah, right, Peter, if I could just throw you just... none given, none taken. So if we look at where this is actually happening now, and I look at the North Otago Irrigation Company, which has a whole consent over the body of people, they're categorically and scientifically proven that correlation is not necessarily correct, providing that they are doing the job correctly, and they're under compliance to actually do it correctly, and they're stopping their irrigator. If someone steps out of line, they'll actually stop them.
Question, darling, not speech. Question.
He said it is a fact that that's happened. And I'm saying, well, actually done properly, it isn't a fact.
Peter,
where does that fact?
The answer to that is that the North Otago Irrigation Scheme is under a different permitting arrangement. It's not a deemed permit.
No.
It's a different permitting arrangement, so it wouldn't fall within this.
So the question is...
This isn't just deemed permits, is it?
It's all water permits.
It's all water permits.
Hold on, people.
Yeah.
You asking of Sarah.
I would like to know, regardless of the type of permit arrangement, where is it scientifically proven that our water users in Otago, because they irrigate more land, will have greater environmental impacts?
Where is it scientifically proven?
Yeah.
So, I don't have the information off the top of my head for that at all. But you can make some, I think, you can make some assumptions about what more water might result in terms of intensification. There has to be, at the end of the day, if you want more water for something, there's a cost to getting that water and a cost to irrigating land that has to then provide you with an outcome. And so, you know, that would be what I would say. But what I will do is refer you back to Peter, and if you have scientific evidence, I don't to hand.
I haven't got the scientific evidence to hand either, but the point about all this is there is an alternate pathway. There is a pathway.
Yes, there is.
If people don't want to comply with that, whereby they can make an application, but it's up to them to bring the science that says they're not going to have those effects.
Okay, that's a, and that's a more and that's inside this plan. Okay, I've just lost where I am. Okay, did I see? I've got these two people asking questions and questions, Michael and Alexa. Michael.
Okay, now what you just said, Peter, we'll debate when it comes to the policy, which is fair enough. So I'm just going to ask this question. It comes back to the Section 32 report. In front of me, I've got a guide to Section 32 of the Resource Management Act, which I'm sure you've read, published by the Ministry for the Environment, and it has some key messages. This is sort of an executive summary. You'll have read it. You know what it says.
Michael, get to the question without and here,
so, no, why don't, so here it goes. It says here, bullet point, all costs and benefits of a proposal should be identified and assessed so decision makers have a sound understanding, that's us, of the impact that a proposal will have on the community, one, two, the economy, three, the environment. There it is, key message, Ministry for the Environment. I've looked at this Section 32 report and I can't see that.
Question?
Where is it?
Page 50.
No, yes. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Look, read it. That doesn't say that, does it? Sorry, there is nothing, Michael, that helps me as a decision maker that
I'm coming over the top of you, Michael. Michael, we had a discussion on this earlier. I heard Peter's answer at that time was that you cannot actually work out exactly what costs are. We then had the people out the back saying $2,000 versus a more extensive way, being whatever that was. And I thought we had that very clearly put to us.
No.
If you're talking about general economy, yep, then good luck, sweetheart.
No, but there it is.
I've never seen that written in any regional council.
Have a look.
There, I'm no fully aware, darling. I wrote the act, partner.
Excuse me, Chair, I think that what was told earlier was that the staff costs if somebody made an application for a permit would be expected to be perhaps $1,500 to $2,000, and that costs to the applicant could not easily be quantified.
That's correct. So the cost to the applicant, you don't know?
No.
Not 2,000. Okay. Apologies. Thank you, Hilary. Okay, Alexa.
On that issue, as he points to that, key Section 32 requirements. An evaluation must examine whether the objectives of the proposal are the most appropriate way to achieve the purpose of the Act, and whether the provisions are the most appropriate way of achieving the objectives. Yep. There are other things in there. My question, though, I want to hear from Peter what he started to say in response to Kevin, because what you actually said, Peter, was you didn't say anything about a scientific thing, but then you said, in exact words, there is a relationship between water used and water quality. That is scientifically over many journals. I just Googled it and there was 115 came up straight away. So there is a relationship. You didn't say what that relationship was. You started to say you were trying to establish a new regime and you don't want to make the situation worse. And then you were cut off and I wanted to hear what else you were going to say, if you can remember. And that was only the start of point two and you had three points.
Thank you, Alexa.
The second part of that was not wanting to encourage expenditure now on the part of a water user when we might frustrate the use of that expenditure in 5 years through the next plan, through the Land and Water Plan when we review it. I can't say we will, but I'm equally alive to the fact that we might. And that's going to come out of the community consultation as much as it comes out of the science. The science is going to tell us some things. The consultation we have with the community, and we're in the Manuhirikia at the moment doing exactly this, is what do they want from the river? What do they value? What then that means in terms of, excuse me, how much water is available for abstraction is something that we will need to then write rules and provisions around. There's not a lot of point in this plan change saying, oh, it doesn't really matter. Go away, do what you like. Here's a permit. And in 5 years, saying, I'm sorry, you've got to have a haircut now of 50% of the water you're using. If we do that, I've been professionally irresponsible. advising you that you should go into that space.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. That's great. Brian.
Can I move a motion?
You want to put the motion, do you? Is that what you want to do? Can I just hold it for a second?
Because I'm assuming we've finished questions.
I just want to check that. I really want genuine questions, people, not arguments, because I'm going to move into argument. So I have Hillary, Kevin, and Andrew.
Sorry, I haven't got a question.
No good.
No, except of you, can we put them separately when we put them, not move that motion as a...
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes, we absolutely can. Absolutely can. Hillary, not Hillary, who did I say?
Andrew.
Kevin, then Andrew. Thank you.
On page 4, item 12, basing on our water usage, so if I have a property that has a current permit, but because of development work I've been doing, I haven't been using that permit. Let's say I'm transitioning from one type of agriculture into horticulture for the likes, and I haven't been using that that water so in the last 3 to 5 years. How, under this regime, will I now get water?
You'll have to use the alternative pathway.
Or get what you've already
or
had.
Or get what you've had in that 5-year period.
Alternative. Or if you didn't have a deemed permit.
The non-compliant pathway.
Sorry, people. The alternative pathway is written out in the paper very clearly.
I understand that. I'm just asking how that happens.
Just checking that. Just to clarify.
I'm comfortable with that.
If you had a deemed permit, exactly as staff have said, if you have a water permit under the RMA and you don't exercise it for 5 years, it lapses automatically.
The second question was you, young man, Andrew.
Thanks, Madam Chair. We've got some key dates in the new policy, and we've also got a cap of 6 years for the duration of the short-term consents. So based on the land and water plan not being operative by December 31, 2025, the six-year cap, what happens then?
Question.
If you apply now, today, and are granted a permit today, it lasts for 6 years from today. If you apply in 2 years, it's 6 years from then. We've had to do that because what we're trying to do is achieve a fit-for-purpose regime that gets everybody we can into it before the 31st of December 2035, which is when we believe the new land and water plan will be due for review, review.
I get you.
That's where that date comes from.
Okay.
So we're trying to get everybody from where they are now inside the new plan regime, which we've yet got to develop, and there's going to be a lot of discussion, no doubt, around this table about what that looks like.
But we're actually talking, sorry to cut across,
a 15-year
period, even though we're only issuing consents for a six-year period, we've actually got a 15-year window to pick up all as they
to,
all...
To pick them all up.
Thank you.
What
is
that, Dave?
Michael, is that a question?
Policy 2.10A2, the proposed 1B, there is no increase in the area under irrigation if the abstracted water is used for irrigation. So that's right. So if I was to make a dam or a catchment for myself and use the abstracted water that you've granted me a resource consent for, and I wanted to irrigate more land from the extracted water, even though it's less, I still won't be able to? Is that correct?
Yep.
Good. And second, if I wanted to change my land use from, let's just say, I wanted to put in some new cherry orchards in Cromwell, and I'm currently using my water for just fattening some lambs, but I now want to use that water for growing a cherry orchard, which is more land, I can't do that either.
You can't as a controlled activity. You can apply
pathway
as a non-complying activity on the basis that the adverse effects are no more than minor.
Right, but this says that I can't irrigate any more land, it says avoid, so that means I can't do it, in the introduction to it, and then it says I can't increase the area under irrigation.
Can I give a quick answer? Because that he's describing the controlled activity. There is the alternative pathway, which is 15 years and longer. So what you're reading out from is the controlled activity, not the other aversion that we have underneath here.
So from 10A3.3.2, that's the non-complying activity where they could go through that path.
They could. Now, how much... Yes, but how much... How will I know if I can?
You're lawfully allowed to apply.
And that's it?
That's it.
Probably can't.
Except...
Anybody can apply. There is no restriction to who can apply. Anybody can choose to exercise a non-complying rule in a plan.
Right, but the policy that governs that, and so this is why I'm trying to make the correlation. The policy that governs that is set up, that it uses Mr. Constantine's logic, the more land you irrigate, the worst effect upon the environment. Now...
No, that's not
what he's saying.
The policy that is driven out of that rule is 10A23. It's the third of the policies.
10A23.
Yes. The bottom of page... Oh, it's my page 20, two. I'm not sure what 20, page.
22.
22.
It's the irrespective policy. Is that the one you mean?
Yes. Irrespective of
any other policies.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, so I will be able to irrigate more land.
If you get a non-complying activity consent,
you can apply, and then it will be up to the consents department and your own science to demonstrate that you satisfy the requirements to get a consent granted.
Right. So none of the policy. So it won't. So the logic that goes beforehand in policies 10A21, the logic that's there will not apply.
No.
Is that correct?
The architecture of the plan change is that the first policy, the one that we've been talking about, drives the controlled activity rule, okay, and it's the policy foundation for that. The second policy in the plan is for all new water permits, and we had to allow something in there that prevented them being granted for 35 years. That's the policy, and these are new permits. Not replacement deemed permits and not replacement expiring permits, but brand new water permits. Then you get to the third policy, and it's the policy that drives the non-complying activity rule, the alternative pathway, and also, under non-complying activities, you can't be inconsistent, or contrary to, sorry, the policies of the plan. That's the policy that lets you off that hook. So we've had to create a policy that allows people to make an application, and then as long as they demonstrate there are no adverse effects, they won't be contrary to that policy.
So no adverse effects to the environment, you mean?
No more than minor on the environment.
No more than minor across the environment.
Yep.
Right, so I can make my cherry orchard.
Yes.
Might be able to. Well, that'll depend.
And you can apply for more water.
You can prove if you want to.
Okay. That's
right. Okay, have we finished questions? We have finished questions. Who would like to move that we receive this report?
Yes.
You would, Brian?
Yes.
Would somebody like to second that?
Second that, Madam
Chair. Is there any debate on that particular motion? There being none?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, there is. Debate?
I'd like to speak to it.
Okay, Dean.
You know, I mean, I've heard all these questions. From my perspective, you know, this is not a time to be nervous. We've set staff a task, and I think they need to be congratulated in terms of what they've come back with. We've set a demanding timeline in terms of today's meeting, in terms of, and there are other timelines as well in terms of 2021 that have been set by others. At the start of this day, Madam Chair, you talked about how the RMA is an iterative process, and this is one stage of it. This is the transition stage, which will ultimately be heard by a hearing panel, who will further refine it. And then the key thing is this full water plan that we really need to then focus upon. One of the key things from my perspective is written in this section 32 report, And what it says in there, it says what PC7 achieves is preventing the ramping up of actual water takes ahead of the comprehensive review of flow and allocation regimes as part of the water plan review. In other words, it will be, it will, as a minimum, see the line held firm. And that is what Professor Skelton said when he sat in that chair. And that is what Minister Parker has said. And that's what we need to get on with. I'm happy to move this motion.
Was there a seconder for that motion? I just said.
I did second, that's right.
Who did?
Councillor Moon.
Do you want to talk to him?
Look, just very briefly, my good friend and colleague, Councillor Scott, has used the word, and there's no need to be nervous. But as elected,
not a time to get nervous.
Oh, not a time to get nervous. But look, as elected members representing a region that's dealing with a pretty challenging issue, I mean, I'm nervous. And the community's nervous as well, that have got a direct involvement with water permits, deem permits, whatever you like to call them. This is a big deal. And I think that it's a significant step, and I appreciate it's the big picture that we're trying to stay focused on, the 23-25 land and water plan, get that. But this is going to be a significant change for a sector, a community, a large community that has got to accept that the rules and regulations of the past are going to change significantly, and that's going to have a significant impact on their regime, whether it's farming sheep and beef or horticulture or whatever it might be, lifestyle blocks with, you know, requirements for stock drinking water or whatever. So I think the nervousness is real, and I think that, it's a big deal. So let's not underestimate that.
Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
This is for receiving the report. Yep.
I just wanted to... I allowed to ask just one question? It's only because it's just come up. If you don't want me to... it was just to reconfirm.
All right.
All I wanted to do, because I have been listening and there's a lot to take in, I just wanted to check that I have got right what you said. Sorry, Alexa. If you apply in 2 years, it is 6 years. But if you apply today, it is also 6 years.
Right.
Just want to get that right in my head. Thank you.
Okay, love.
Appreciate that.
Can I ask for a division?
Yeah. Can I put the motion first? All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Do you want to take a division?
No, this is just receiving the report.
Carried. All the, that motion is carried. We're now looking at, do you still want to go separately for a DOPS proposed chain? You obviously got a plan up your heads, I can see it.
Yeah.
Can I move from the chair, adopt proposed plan change 7 to the regional plan for Water Otago and the section 2? Can I have a seconder, please? Thank you, Alexa. I'm going to speak to this really strongly. Okay, because I've listened for a long time. I just want to say to you, this is the alternative to those of you who are worried. The alternative to this plan change is that individuals will apply for water consents, okay, whether they've got deemed permits or water consents that are running out. They are liable to be opposed. Okay, they won't be accepted by everybody. This plan has got the agreement of a whole lot of people. So they'll be opposed, and it will become a costly, long, drawn-out process that is paid for by individual farmers. And there'll be a shortage of commissioners, because that won't go, you know, when they're applying individually, that won't go to an environment court or a board of inquiry. It'll go through commissioners. It will take ages. And so, therefore, if you've got a deemed permit that's going to run out in October 2021, you may well be left, and I would feel really bad about this, without any right to water. I want you to understand that, because when a deemed permit expires, Hilary, there is no automatic right to a water consent. You have lost all your rights.
Not if you've applied.
Well, if you haven't applied, or it hasn't even started through the process. Okay? So this could go on forever at huge cost. What we're trying to do is something that is simple and effective, and yet prepares, and this is where I want you to put you into this perspective. There was a 30-year life of deemed permits. Every farmer I've talked to, including federated farmers, says, yeah, I'm slightly embarrassed that we're in the 29th year and we're still fighting this. We haven't done anything about it. Some have. An awful lot haven't. When I ask them why, they can't really tell me. But it's inside the whole environmental lawmaking of New Zealand. National policy statements, 2014, 2017, and one hell of a one coming through right now. If you think that a change of government, which I think some of you do think, is going to make a difference to this, can I just give you a warning? It was Nick Smith who moves 2014 and 2017. Yes, you are really affected by the farmers around you. But there are a lot of people in New Zealand who want to see healthy water. Better farming, and I am going to say better farming than some of what I've seen. There's some brilliant stuff, but there's some stuff that's suspect. And they are going to want to see that, and any government of whatever colour, based on what's happened before in 14 and 17. So don't think, listen, we'll just play a delaying game, which I'm sure is the next motion on the books here. We'll just play a delaying game so that we don't deal with this. And you are doing a disservice to farmers with deemed permits. And you're also hoping that there'll be a change of government, and that change of government, and that may well happen, and that change of government will ignore the work that's being done on water throughout the country, 14, 17, and the big lot of work that's done by the three groups doing the freshwater stuff at the moment. I really think, people, you have to actually manage this. I'll say one last thing. I want you to reflect on that plan change process again and say that it's an iterative process. The council staff design and plan change. There is communication with those affected. The plan comes to council. It came on January the 7th. We have had Section 32, and I presume that you've gone out with Section 32 because you have to, and you've talked to iwi and various other people around there because you got that change from 7 years to 6 years. The council agrees to it. And then we have submissions. And then submissions on the submissions. Regardless of whether being called in or not, that process still happens. It doesn't have to be totally perfect now as to the way it will be. It is a process. I really ask you to consider voting for this motion. Gretchen.
Thank you. I actually think that Councillor Noon had some really important things to say before. I will support this motion as well. I think it's very important, though, that we note that there's a lot of people in the community who are feeling nervous, their livelihoods are, you know, this is really important, water's very important. There's a number of groups and farmers who've been working very solidly and investing a great amount of time, effort and love into ensuring that they are looking after waterways well, and they've already got consents in place to do that as well. So we need to recognise that a lot of work has been done and that people do care. There's a number of reasons why people have left applying to the last minute, and sometimes we need to take some of the blame for that.
Absolutely.
We've actually encouraged people to do that at times.
Exactly.
So,
not me.
Not you.
You just got here.
But there's been a range of different positions through the council of when's a good time to come in with your consent. So there's reasons why people are now in the position that they find themselves in. But that said, I think Councillor Noon outlined the situation we're in really well, which is that the future looks really, really different to how it is now. We've allocated water under gold mining times, and at times it's water that doesn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
So many of our rivers are well and truly over-allocated multiple times. So in the future, we need to look to restore some of these waterways. We're in a holding pattern at the moment, yes. We can't, but yeah, we do have an alternative pathway too, so that if you can prove that you are not going to have significant adverse effects, go for it. You can go through that alternative pathway, and there are avenues to securing water. But otherwise, it's important to note that the future does look different and that we do need to plan for that. So, yeah, thank you.
Michael? The first thing that really needs to be said is that we prided ourselves and have always prided ourselves as a council and as councillors in making evidence-based decisions. We rely upon science to drive us. And what I've heard today is not science, but sentiment, assumptions, not backed by evidence, not backed by science, and backed by a sort of belief that farming is somehow bad and that irrigation is worse. And in fact, that's actually written in the report in section 31. That expanding any area under irrigation ignores the potential effects on water quality from a greater area of land under irrigation. Sediment. And the assumption is there that irrigation is a bad thing. And it's not. It's created and sustained the economy that we now have. And the reason that there is enormous nervousness in where I, or the areas that I represent, but also in the wider region in general, is because we haven't actually employed best practice here. We've made some spectacular and political assumptions, not backed by science nor hydrology, and we have just assumed that things will be better as a consequence. The greatest mistake here is that this council lacked imagination. When it had an alternative before it a month ago, that alternative was to say, listen, grant the consents for longer, but put in a condition that you're allowed to vary those consents when national standards change or you have new scientific evidence or climatic conditions change that would update and provide the information, and then we can vary those conditions as we do. We had that option and chose not to do it. And now we've got the worst of all possible regimes, a short-term regime that doesn't let anybody who's involved in our agrarian economy plan at all. Can also say to you too, Marion, as chair, as new chair, I know that you won't be intimately aware of what came before, but Councillor Robertson's right. It's not the farmers that are at fault for leaving this. It's the Otago Regional Council. We had 30 years to plan for this. And here we are going arse for tit at the moment, trying to come up with a short-term solution because we didn't do our job properly. The failure is collective. It is nothing to do with those who were told, wait until we get our act together. We haven't quite worked out what that is yet. And then we actually had external provision by Professor Skelton as to what we hadn't done. I can't vote for this motion. The Section 32 evaluation report is seriously inadequate. It's meant to be evidence-based. It's not. Again, there are these assumptions. Again, the evidence is lacking. I'm concerned, in fact, that that Section 32 report is going to fail when it strikes independent analysis. And it's because, again, we haven't done our job properly. But finally, I don't want a war. I don't want this war that seems to be between environmentalists on one side and those who uphold it, and the farming and agrarian community on the other. The farmers are just saying, give us a chance, take us along with you. And what we're doing here, I think, is segmenting. And some of the rhetoric that has gone with this is in actual fact cementing those divisions, not healing them. We could have done and should have done a lot better. We still have that opportunity. Thank you. I'm just a reminder, it's 5 minutes. Hilary, did you want to speak?
Yes, Madam Chair. I won't be supporting this either. and not because I don't think that a lot of work's gone into it and I don't think we need to do something, but because we haven't done it well up till now, and the community out there deserves for us to do a proper job of this. The Section 32 analysis looks retrofitted, like here's the answer, so we're now asking the questions rather than actually a process which I would have expected to be more iterative. In particular, it doesn't talk to any of the costs really to applicants, and it uses definite words on the benefit side and may and possibly could sort of words on the cost side, when we can find out about those and we just haven't. There are people out there who can say what the cost of putting a permit to the average applicant is, not just on staff costs, but out there. We could have found out that. We haven't. We haven't. So we just don't have the costs that belong in there to the community. I could have worn this if it was, say, 15 years, because I think within 15 years, the other permits that have been given over the period, and it's more than half of them anyway, will have started expiring, and by that stage we could have bundled things up and we will have most of the effect we want to have. We'll have a new water plan, we'll have had several national water statements. I think we're moving in the right direction, and quite clearly farmers have been moving in the right direction anyway. So had it been longer, to me, it would have been fine. And it wouldn't have mattered so much how much it might cost to do a permit, which quite clearly was intended by the Minister to be a cost-effective process, and we're just pretending that we don't care about that. And I do care. I think we could have done better than this, and I do acknowledge the work that's gone into it, but we haven't taken the community on board because of some assumptions we've made about that the community is currently not dealing with water well and they need us to beat them about the head with a stick about it. And I think it is, as Michael says, a lost opportunity if we don't do it properly. So I can't support this, but I wanted to be able to.
Okay, we've got any more speakers? Alexa, and we've got, remember, two more motions to follow this, and it's 20 to 5.
Yep. I'm seconded to this, and I want to speak to it. We have a lot more awareness about our environment now than we did 30 years ago when we were established, and we've had 100 years of deemed permits, and are well and truly out of date. The issue's in its 29th year, no news in any of this. But in the past 30 years, this council and its constituents, it's not just the council, it's been a very difficult issue, but we've by and large completely failed to address what happens next. So that's what we're doing here. People of New Zealand and iwi have called time on what's going on with water. That's just there. And it's not an urban-rural issue. I don't buy that for a second. And I think I've had just as many phone calls as the rest of you from people that are wine growers, grape growers, cherry growers, people using water for all sorts of things. There are other things than just the farming that goes on in our district, and I have heard from them. And there is a lot of nervousness and a lot of people that are really worried about what happens next and how their business survives in that. Well, that is where we are. And I think we've taken a really, really good approach. I've read many Section 32s. This one is fine. I am really happy with it. The stakeholders are listed. We know who you've talked to. And I looked at that and thought, you know, in the time that we've been given and had to deal with this, Queensland Lakes District, we're up to Plan Change 64. This is Plan Change 7. We have a lot of plan changes. And I think this is as good as any of the others that I see. It's a difficult time, and it's going to get really difficult. I hope we're not going to go into a war. I hope we're going to accept this, and we can at least lead some sort of situation of going, we're going to accept this, and we have put in a short-term solution till we design a long-term solution. That, to me, is just perfect sense. There is a pathway if you think you want another way. Again, perfect sense. We need to get on with it by having the six-year system. It buys us the opportunity to do the really good job that we want to do. And the principles that inform the plan change were decided, they're in place, and they're in place for good reason, they're strong, and we have kept to those throughout this plan change. I totally support this motion, and I hope that the rest of you do, and we can put this to bed and get on with it.
Exactly.
Well said.
Can I put the motion?
Yes, yep. Please.
Sorry, Kevin.
This way forward was sanctioned by a split vote in council and by a casting vote. So it was by no mean yes, that decrees that it is unanimous. So it was a split vote, and this is why we're still having that discussion. What I thought as a council would be doing is sorting out the best way to take Otago people with us. The motion as it stands now, in my opinion, and I hope I'm wrong, will simply split groups even further.
It is.
There's time and effort and love I hear about rivers and about our environment, and there's just so many people doing so much good work. Talking with ECAN earlier this week, they are telling me that the Waikato is taking an 80-year plan, an 80-year view of their issues. And so they are starting now, but they are taking an 80-year. We are looking at quick fixes within this plan that do not need to. With respect, Madam Chair.
I'm hearing you.
I do not interrupt other speakers.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Come on, let's try and keep it as cool as we can. Okay, on you go.
Well, we have talked with people. And if you go to page 4, section 15, it tells us everyone we've talked to. And what we've put into this plan does not align with what the people of Otago have told us. So that is the part to me that is only going to inflame a very tough situation. I am happy with the way the report's written. I'm happy with the work that's gone in. But we have not considered what the people that we have talked to, that we have consulted with, have actually said to us. And that's where I think we fall down. We have not taken the best way forward to bring our people with us. I am firmly against this motion and will vote accordingly.
Thank you. Andrew?
It might surprise you, but I'm going to support the motion reluctantly. There's a number of aspects that we've discussed in the questions. You know, we've all asked questions and staff and consultants were able to give considered answers. But the reality is somehow, and Alexa has just alluded to, we need to move forward on this particular issue. There's a whole lot of risks involved in this process, except that. But also I think we need to send some certainty out into the community that the plan is what it is. You know, we've got to make these hard decisions. That's why we, you know, put a hand up, you know, end of last year to be representatives of our community. And I get that aspect about the economic considerations in Section 32. But somehow we've got to take the next step forward, try and take the community with us. It will be challenging, there's no doubt about that. I've been on the wrong side of the debate in the last couple of rounds on planning issues, etc. But the reality is, you know, it's a democratic process, and really we've just got to get on with it. And the last thing I would say is about Marion as chair alluded to water quality, etc. And you know, a lot of people want better water quality. I mean, this council has said we don't want to see degradation, any more degradation of water quality, full stop. And I know we're dealing with water permits here, but the reality is the vast majority of our community, it doesn't matter whether you're urban or rural, they don't want to see degradation either.
Okay.
And so I think we're all on the same page, and we're actually probably closer on this issue as well as what we perhaps are in this current debate. But as I say, create some certainty, show some leadership. It's not a perfect scenario, but let's get on with it.
Thank you, Andrew. Any more?
If we could have a division.
Okay, let's have a vote. It has been moved by myself and seconded by Alexa that we adopt the proposed plan change to the regional plan and the Section 2 evaluation report. All those who support that, please raise a hand. I can count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Those opposed? 6, 4. I declare it carried.
Could we have those names?
Okay, sorry, darling.
Councillor Calvert. Councillor Calvert?
No.
Yes. No. Against. Sorry.
Councillor Deaker.
In favour.
Councillor Forbes.
For.
Councillor Hobbs.
Against.
Against.
Sorry, my
Councillor Hobbs.
I was going in alphabetical
order. Lord, sorry. Holy shit, I'm totally freezing. I'm forged.
Yes.
Get back and sit over there in order.
This is worse than in Parliament last night.
Councillor Lawrence.
Completely missed up. No.
Councillor Malcolm.
Against.
Councillor Noon.
Aye.
Councillor Robertson.
Aye.
Councillor Scott.
Okay, people, I want to move the next motion. I'll move it from the chair and I'll need a seconder to approve the proposed plan change. And you're going to second it? Is it? And the Section 2 evaluation for public, the interesting thing is, for public notification on the 18th of March 2020. I waive my opening speech. Maybe hold on to a right of reply if I have to. Any speakers to that motion? Okay, all right. I move. All those in favour of that motion, let's please please say aye.
Aye.
And against?
Aye.
No. Can we take it by roll call or whatever you call this?
Division.
Division.
We just assume that the votes go.
Let's go through.
Councillor Deaker.
In favour.
Councillor Forbes.
In favour.
I'll go to Councillor Hope.
Against.
Councillor Hobbs.
In favour.
Councillor Laws. Councillor Malcolm.
I'm in favour and I would have liked to talk, but I am in favour of now going ahead. Okay.
Councillor Noon.
Aye.
Apologies.
Councillor Robertson.
Four.
Councillor Scott.
Four.
Seven.
Seven what?
7-3.
7-3. Okay, loves, we're up to the last resolution, which we note that the rules contained in the proposed plan change 7 will have immediate legal effect. This is the normal thing, isn't it? That when you go to notify from the date of public notification, because those rules protect or relate to water. Somebody, I'll move this. Could somebody like to second it? What's the name? Gretchen?
Arthur.
Arthur. Is there anybody who wants to speak for or against? It's just saying that it's a legal thing.
Just to make it clear.
Because it relates to water, the plan change comes. Yeah, it's there.
From today.
From the day it's notified. From the 18th.
From the day.
Yeah.
Okay, any speeches? Anybody? Kevin? Right, we're okay. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
And against? Carried. I didn't do that. I didn't go around. Do you want me to go around?
No.
Okay.
It's a note.
All right. Weaknesses. What are we up to now? I've just lost my total.
Adopt the comms plan.
I think we're up to closure. Is that correct?
We're done.
Yes.
Thank you, people. Thank you very much. It was a difficult day. Thank you. Can I thank you three down the end? You get a hell of a lot of stuff thrown at you.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the clarity of your answers. Okay? I've learned heaps in this time. Thank you.